Good morning.
Morning.
Great to see everybody here at St. Michael's today. We are happy to come together to worship the Lord, and we take a lesson from our gospel today where we'll hear about Mary and Martha, the way that sitting at the feet of Jesus is the one thing necessary, which is exactly what you've chosen to do in being in his house this morning. We have got something to celebrate today. We'll be receiving a member into our congregation. We're happy to invite forward Mary Ann Liebscher, and Cindy, your daughter's coming up with her. Beloved in the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ said to his apostles, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." So, Marianne, I ask you to lift up your heart, therefore, to the God of all grace and joyfully give answer to what I now ask you in the name of the Lord. Do you this day in the presence of God and of this congregation acknowledge the gifts that God gave to you in your baptism? If so, say, "Yes, I do." Do you renounce the devil, all his works, and all his ways? If so, say, "Yes, I do." Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit? If so, say, "Yes, I believe." Do you hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired word of God, and the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, drawn from them and confessed in the Small Catechism, to be faithful and true? If so, say, "I do." Do you intend to hear the word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? If so, say, "I do, by the grace of God." And do you intend to live according to the word of God and in faith, word, and deed, remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death? If so, say, "I do, by the grace of God." Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession in church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? If so, say, "I do, by the grace of God." Do you desire to become a member of this congregation? If so, say, "I do." And will you support the work that our gracious Lord has given you and this congregation with your prayers and with the gifts that God gives you? If so, say, "I will, with the help of God." Upon this, your confession of faith, I acknowledge publicly that you are a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and of this congregation. Receive the Lord's Supper and participate with us in all the blessings of salvation that our Lord has given to his church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your great goodness in bringing this, your daughter, to the knowledge of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and enabling her both with her heart to believe and mouth to confess his saving name. Grant that by your word and spirit she may continue steadfast in the one true faith, in the fellowship of this congregation, as together we await the day when all who have fought the good fight of faith shall receive the crown of righteousness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Let's welcome Mary Ann into the congregation. So happy. You can take this with you. All right. You're welcome. We'll rise and sing number 538, our opening hymn, "Praise Be to Christ."
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We join together in today's intro. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. When I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, grant us the Spirit to hear your word and know the one thing needful, that by your word and Spirit we may live according to your will. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday after Pentecost is from Genesis chapter 18. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, while I bring a morsel of bread, that you may refresh yourselves. And after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. So they said, Do as you have said. And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah, and said, Quick, three seahs of fine flour, knead it, and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, Where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, She is in the tent. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year. And Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, After I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? The Lord said to Abraham, Why did Sarah laugh and say, Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Today's reading from the Psalms is a portion of Psalm 27, which we'll read aloud together. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, Seek my face. My heart says to you, Your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord.
The epistle is from Colossians chapter 1. You who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If, indeed, you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister, according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise. Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Our kids are invited up for today's children's message.
Joyful laughter there too. Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm wondering how many of you might be familiar with the phrase, time appointed. It's a little bit of an odd phrase, so maybe we're not terribly familiar, but we all live with times appointed. For example, if you're punching the clock at work, you know about times that are appointed. If you want to eat lunch or dinner, you know about times appointed. You'll be hungry if you miss it. If you visit a doctor or a dentist, you of course know the importance of times appointed. Now, I bring up that phrase today because there's a connection with that phrase and our gospel lesson that we just read. That connection comes from Luther's Large Catechism, where he goes into even more detail than the Small Catechism on the commandments and the creed and every point that's covered. But he explains the third commandment in detail. That's the one that says we're to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And in explaining it, he says this: we must know that God insists on a strict observance of this commandment and will punish all who despise his word and are not willing to hear and learn it, especially at the time appointed for the purpose. So that helps us if we keep this time appointed idea in mind when we look at the story of Martha and Mary, and when we look at their reaction, each of them, to the arrival of Jesus coming under their roof. As we read the story, it's obvious that both Martha and Mary loved Jesus. They wanted to be with him. Yet only one of those two sisters understood the nature of the appointed time with Jesus, while the other needed to be patiently taught and guided to understand the importance of the moment, that appointed time they had with him. The story goes that Jesus was in their home. There he is, the very Son of God, and he came to that home to serve them. It was the appointed time for him to speak his word into their ears, the appointed time for them to listen, to hear it, to learn it, to believe it, to receive the heavenly treasures that God desired for them to have, coming straight from his own Son. And whenever that happens for them, and whenever that happens for us today, the Lord urges us to that at times appointed, we choose the one thing that's necessary, and then we're richly blessed with God's eternal treasures. The story of Martha and Mary, it starts out so wonderfully, doesn't it? Martha, she opens her home to Jesus as Jesus is traveling through her village. Her sister Mary, of course, is present and spends time with Jesus there at the house. The Lord stopped in. They will stay for a meal. Nothing could possibly be better. But now both sisters face a choice. The choice is, how will they spend that time with Jesus? Well, Martha runs off to the kitchen. She's hustling and bustling there, arranging pots and pans and firing up the stove. Her time is devoted to preparing the food, the table, the many things that it says in the text are necessary to serve Jesus. It's possible also that she has running through her mind that there's a small army to feed. The other disciples are likely there with Jesus, hungry too. And thus, Martha's main priority, you see, is that when Jesus visits, she is going to prepare him a meal. And I think we've all done things like that at times. But Mary, on the other hand, the other sister, she just sits down. She nestles in comfortably, right there at the feet of Jesus. She sits in a posture in front of him, indicating that she's a humble learner, sitting at the feet of a teacher, listening to his every word. And Jesus speaks, and she is all ears as to what he's saying. Now, it's a rare thing in that culture that any rabbi would speak to a woman. But this rabbi, Jesus, even teaches the things of God to women. The others, they ignored the women and wouldn't even have time for them at all. So, with Mary in the kitchen, or Mary at Jesus' feet and Martha in the kitchen, Mary's choice appears to be a self-centered one to Martha. In fact, it seems to her so inappropriate that she can't even contain herself. She finally blurts out, "Lord, do you not care? Do you not care that my sister's left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." Martha was frustrated, tugged back and forth. She had to get it off of her chest. Lord, make this sister of mine make the right choice like I had to get out here and help. But poor Martha, because poor Martha had forgotten why Jesus had come to her house in the first place. He had come not to be served, but to serve. Martha, Martha, you are anxious about many things, he says, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, and it will not be taken away from her. This was the time appointed for Jesus to speak to Mary and Martha, for them to listen simply to his word. Nothing could be more important. You see, the word was the only necessary thing at that moment. So what is Martha's real problem here? Is it a problem that we often have too? Martha, you see, seems determined to serve the Lord Jesus while he is with them. It makes perfect sense at first, but really at heart, she seems to misunderstand, or maybe not understand at all, why Jesus came to her house in the first place. Why Jesus comes to us. He comes not to be served, but to serve. Back in Luke 10, which we read a couple weeks ago, after the return of the 72 that were sent out by Jesus, he said, "All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." You see, Jesus the Son came for the very purpose of revealing God his Father to whomever he would encounter. And Jesus entered that house that day first and foremost to carry out his ministry, to proclaim, to teach, to make known his heavenly Father, to reveal God's mercy and God's forgiveness. And at this house, he's there that day to bring even Martha and Mary those same heavenly treasures. No doubt he intended to tell them of what lay ahead for him, his suffering and death that would come, the forgiveness of sins that would be ushered in, the resurrection that we would have, and the ascension to his heavenly glory. But instead, Martha there, concerning herself with many things, was missing the one thing that's necessary, the appointed time that Jesus had come to be with her. Now, second off, we have to be fair. You see, the many things that Martha was concerned about, they're not evil things, they're not harmful things, not in and of themselves anyway. Martha believed, of course, that preparations are important, and they are. And the things she was doing seemed important at the moment, too. People had to eat, didn't they? It's not as if she was skipping out on church or neglecting to think about others or omitting to help and care for those in need. Martha did care. She did attend to Jesus. She welcomed him. She lovingly was preparing him a meal. You would think, who could ask for anything more? But you see, it was just a matter of timing. At this time, when Jesus is right there, the hustle and the bustle was not the best choice. It wasn't what needed to happen at that appointed time. And of course, we recognize that our Lord, who fed thousands upon a hillside, could have certainly taken care of a meal under the roof of Martha's house. The Holy Spirit points us in the Word to the underlying problem here. He says, Martha was distracted with much serving. It was that distraction, that worry, that led to her accusing comments that Jesus didn't care. It reminds me of something else Martin Luther said about the third commandment. He said this, "Where the heart is idle and the word does not make a sound, there the devil breaks in and does the damage before we're even aware." In other words, Jesus lovingly identifies that danger for Martha. He says lovingly, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things." You see, the danger for Martha is real, because when life is not centered on the word, Satan can easily prevail, and the worries of this world may well choke out the word of Jesus. So at times that are appointed for the hearing of God's word, at times that are appointed to focus on Jesus, the living word, distractions and worldly worries, even trying to do something ourselves for God, can distract from the one necessary thing, to receive the word, to receive it for our benefit. And in one other place, Luther reminds us this. He says, whenever God's word is taught and preached and heard and read or meditated upon, then the person, the day, and the work are all sanctified. And he says, this is not because of the outward work, but because of the word which makes saints out of us all. At those times appointed, the word alone is the thing that brings us heavenly treasures and blessings. So what love and care Jesus shows to Martha in her time of great spiritual danger. Martha, Martha, says Jesus, before going on to teach her. That double use of her name, especially in their culture, it's a way that you address someone to restore a relationship with them. It's words of compassion, words of love, of deep concern for her. He gathers her into that moment, the appointed time for listening and receiving and believing. It's almost as if he's saying to her, yes, all of those other preparations, those other things, they are important. And yes, those things do serve me when the time is right. But this is the time for listening, for hearing and believing and receiving, for being fed. One thing's necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. So come yourself, Martha, for this one good thing. Come yourself for this spiritual food, this bread of life. Gives you lasting and eternal treasures, forgiveness of sins, and provides the certainty of life everlasting. Now we, every week, in the words of the liturgy, repeat the same thing and sing about the same truth. Right before the gospel lesson, we sing, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And in the Gospel of John, Jesus also spoke these words of promise. He said, if you abide in my word, rest in it, then you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus so often attaches great promises to his word, reminding us that his word is the source of great blessings. In one place he says that already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. In another, Jesus said, if you abide in me, and in my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. And finally, he says, whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. So Jesus intends all of those great promises of the word, not just for you and me today, but he intended them for Martha too. Because soon he would complete his journey to Jerusalem. He would go there and to suffer and die, and as he said, be raised on the third day. He would defeat death by shedding his own blood so that our sins would be cleansed and wiped away. And by his own resurrection, it would be declared that God accepted his sacrifice for sin and that he has become the first fruits of all of those who will be raised on the last day. All of these things, these better things, are the things that are forever important. And Jesus wanted to speak them to Martha too. You know, how can anything, or how can the many little things in life ever be more important than hearing God's word? How can we neglect such eternal treasures by being distracted and pulled away by anything else when Christ himself is present here for you in his word to bless you and strengthen you and to sustain you for everlasting life? So at such times that are appointed for hearing that word, just choose the necessary thing. Hear the word of God spoken to you and for you. That good news of God's forgiveness is for you and for your comfort. Those are the treasures that last forever and won't be taken away from you as we remain in his word. You know, in Milan, Italy, there is a cathedral. And a feature of the architecture of that cathedral is this. There are three inscriptions that are etched above three respective doors. On the right-hand door is inscribed this. It says, all that pleases is but for a moment. On the left-hand door, it reads, all that troubles is but for a moment. Yet over that center door is etched these words, nothing is important save that which is eternal. Martha forgot that truth when it came to Jesus in her home that day, yet tenderly and lovingly, Jesus brought her back to the one necessary thing, to sit at his feet, to receive his word, to take in the gospel, the good news, through which she would be blessed with the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. So at those appointed times when the word is spoken for you, whether it's in a worship setting or in a home devotion or just the word of God brought to you by a fellow believer, choose the one necessary thing. Humbly sit at Jesus' feet and listen. Receive for yourself the treasures of heaven. And these things will not be taken from you. For Jesus promised, blessed are those who hear the word of God. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Invite the congregation to rise as we join together confessing our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. God, you've made known the mystery long hidden and revealed in the glory of Christ in us. Bring us and all the saints through the changes and chances of this earthly life that we would be presented to Christ by Christ to you as those whom he has made holy and righteous in his blood. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you made Paul a minister of your word, and we ask that you would abide with all pastors and those studying to be pastors, with all deacons and deaconesses, all missionaries, translators, teachers, and church workers. May their labors be fruitful and their hearts faithful. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, your Son endured the cross for our sakes and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. We ask, O Lord, that you would be with the young people of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod as they gather in New Orleans this week, worshiping you together this day. Lord, fix their eyes on Jesus and strengthen them with hope and confidence to endure all trials and challenges that come in a life as his disciple. Bless those who are working and serving them, especially parents and chaperones. Grant these youth a safe homecoming and fill our homes with the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, we live in a land of great abundance, and thus we carry great responsibility for the good things of this nation. Bless, O Lord, all who make, judge, and administer our laws, and guide our leaders to know your ways and to follow them for the good of all people. Lord, in your mercy. Father, in your mercy, you know the needs of all people, and by your grace, you can supply all that we need in this body and life. Lord, attend to the sick and those who suffer, the grieving and the dying, and those we name now in our hearts. Lord, help them all to rejoice in their sufferings for the sake of Christ and give healing and grace according to your will. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, you've forgiven our sins. You've delivered us from death through our Lord Jesus, and we ask that you would continue to pour out your mercy upon us. Give us all things that are needful to our body and life. Keep us from all things that would harm us. And for you and from you and through you are all things. We ask this, Holy Father, mighty God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit is one Lord and God, now and forevermore. Amen. You may be seated as we collect this morning's offering. Thank you. Please rise. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Blessed are you, Lord, of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. You may be seated. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. You may be seated for our announcements. All right, a couple things to highlight today. We are in the week leading up to the Winchester Area Volunteer Fire Department's Fish Fry and fundraiser. You have a flyer in the bulletin for you that you can pull out and put up on your fridge or someplace public so that the community knows about the event. You also have work lists there in the bulletin again this week so that everyone knows their duties. We look forward to everyone pulling together to make this community event a success. This will be on Saturday at the park, and then on Sunday, Camp Lone Star is having their annual barbecue and auction and fundraiser as well. So a big weekend full of opportunity and food. Yeah, Sherry, did you have something?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so those auction items, if you are bringing them in, please, if possible, bring them Friday morning from 8 to noon. We can also have them Saturday morning, but the earlier they're checked in, the easier it is on the ladies who are putting the auction itself together. All right, I believe that is all I have for you today, but Ron is going to come forward and give an update on the education building renovation and fundraising.
Good morning. The renovation of the education building process continues. The committee continues to spend a lot of time working with potential contractors. To give you, I guess, the latest update, at this point we have interviewed four contractors. We've kind of narrowed that down to three now, and we have gone back to them and received from at least two, and expecting a third one today, excuse me, a final type proposal, which is very comparative. The previous quotes that we'd received, you can appreciate when everybody has a different way of presenting things, so the proposals weren't very comparable. So now we have three proposals, or we'll have three that are very comparable to review for presentation to the congregation. The committee will be meeting tonight to go over those proposals. So hopefully by next week, our voters meeting on the 30th, we will have a very firm proposal to present to the voters. On the funding side, I'm happy to announce that as of yesterday, we have obtained 70% of our $250,000 goal. We've collected $175,000, which is very exciting. So we're well within reach of the $250,000. If you have not contributed and are willing to do so, it would be greatly appreciated to help us meet this goal. For those who have contributed, thank you so much for your support. and we're excited about refurbishing the Ed building. So that's where things stand right now. One final thing I would like to